From KALW News in San Francisco, I'm Hannah Baba. Tonight, we're going to hear from all the active candidates running to be mayor of Oakland, all 14 of them.
I have taken on City Hall. I have investigated council members. I've investigated development programs. I have told people like it is, and they trust me.
I have rifles. I have more than six handguns, various locations, hidden, locked, and it could be pulled out at any moment's notice to defend myself and family.
You know, if I'd been mayor during Occupy, I would have done precisely what I urged Mayor Kwan to do, which was to become part of Occupy.
Sometimes people say you're not always as friendly as you should be, and it's like when I'm under attack, I sort of do that thing. I find myself doing this thing that I did when I was 5 years on the playground. So it's like getting tough, putting my chin up, and just continuing to focus on work and what I have to do.
Election Day is 2 weeks away. Jean Kwan is the incumbent, and she's being challenged by some council members and others with political experience. Several other candidates are just people who live in Oakland who care enough to run for mayor. Hearing all of their perspectives provides us with a broad and deep picture of Oakland as it is today. Here's how we put together this show. We conducted a half-hour interview with each candidate, talking about their platforms, their priorities, and their personal stake in the city. You can hear those entire interviews online at kalw.org. But we've only got 1 hour here, so we've chosen the most intriguing selections from those interviews, and we'll present them to you today. 14 candidates, one prize, to be mayor of Oakland. Let's hear what they have to say. We start with Nancy Sidebotham, who's lived in Oakland for 50 years. In 2011, Sidebotham was involved in efforts to recall current Mayor Jean Kwan. She says Oakland should be audited by an outside agency to figure out just how much money is actually being spent by the city. And she's no stranger to campaigns. She's run for the District 6 seat on the Oakland City Council every time it's become available since 1990. Now she has her eye on the mayoral seat. Sidebotham sat down with KALW's Ashley Ann Krigbaum to talk about what Oakland could be doing better.
The unfortunate is Oakland has been the dumping ground for Alameda County, just like it was the Eastmont Mall, which is in my district, District 6. Used to have JCPenney's and Mervyn's. And now it's a health center because that's what, because they couldn't bring business. They couldn't bring places that would hire the community in there. I mean, Oakland's been like a third world country in the sense that they've split the flats from the hills, the districts from each other. And what happens when people get on the council is they form cliques, and only certain areas get all the help. The others get forgotten.
If you were to become mayor, how would you change that?
One of the things that I'd like to do is form a commission of community people to have, or a committee, to have them start looking at the charter, because everything that I'm talking about, it relates to the charter and how Oakland is put together because it's a charter city. And I would like to see them look at the strong mayor to see if maybe we should go back to the city manager form of government. Because when the strong mayor was written, it was written for Jerry Brown. It wasn't written with a vision of what was going to come after. And we've ended up in a mess because it's given people power that they shouldn't have. And there's no checks and balances, really. And that needs to be brought into how everybody plays out with each other. The other thing I would look at is doing away with possibly all the districts. When I say that, I mean district elections. I would look at having citywide elections for all the council members, like the at-large position. And that way, all of them would be accountable to the whole city as a unit versus individual fiefdoms.
What would you change in office about just how the police department has a play in with citizens in Oakland in general?
Yeah. What the police department needs is a strong chief that has the respect of the rank and file and the respect of the community. And the police have come around. The unfortunate thing about the police today is we've lost our seasoned officers because they're tired, they're overworked. The overtime is killing them. And they have no leadership in the police department. They don't have respect for their brass. And then you have a mayor that's micromanaging everything that should be getting out of the way and just leading so that people can do their jobs, whether it's the police, public works, or whatever. So it's going to take bringing in a chief that has grown up in the police department, has it just come in and sat in an office chair and then become chief. And you get out of their way and let them do the job.
That was Nancy Side Botham, who's running for mayor of Oakland. She spoke with KALW's Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Also in the race, Saeed Karamuz. He's an Iranian-American businessman who's lived in Oakland for 10 years. He's never been in politics, doesn't accept campaign donations, and says the city needs someone with corporate experience like him to bring in businesses. He also wants to redefine who can be an Oakland police officer, and he encourages redevelopment, provided, he says, it respects the communities that have lived there for generations. Karamuz came by our studios to present his ideas for Oakland.
I would designate an individual on my staff above and beyond what the current allowance is by taking a 50% cut in the mayor's salary during my term to fund this additional position, who would be solely dedicated to ensuring that we don't have a loss of affordable homes in as we go through the development, and also enforcement of the building codes, the health codes, and the safety codes in the rental properties to make sure we have quality, safe places for people
because,
to live.
Because there are codes, they're just not being followed.
They're not being followed.
Police and community relations seem a bit strained. So I'm wondering how you see the Oakland Police Department, and what would you change about it, if anything, when you take office?
The Oakland Police Department is, I want to say, over 90% made of non-Oakland residents. That is, in my opinion, the number one contributor to the lack of proper communication and respect between the community and the police. We have to bring that in to be the reverse of that. We have to have 90%+ of our police officers, if not 100%. I don't understand why even we would need anything less than 100%, but the needle has to swing in the opposite direction.
Hmm. And what does that do?
It really brings humanity into those exchanges. It encourages them, I think, to get out of the car and walk their neighborhoods, to build relationships. All that kind of stuff are hard to measure, but they have immense impact on how we interact with each other.
I've heard that you are so offended when an innocent person is killed in Oakland that you said you would lower city flags to half staff whenever an innocent person is killed. Is that true?
Absolutely. In my opinion, we need to acknowledge these crimes that take place in our city. We need to not shy away from them. I understand there's always this balance between reputation for a city and, there's all these arguments that are made. You don't want to be viewed as a crime-ridden city. But as a city, every time an innocent citizen is killed because of an unnecessary crime, we have to bring that to the forefront and deal with it. Now, I've also said that we need to have a task force that, frankly, immediately mobilizes, and within 30 days, we have the full understanding of what was it that caused that and what preventive measures we can put in place. We can learn from every single one of them, and we have to prioritize it.
That was Saeed Karamuz, one of the 14 active candidates for mayor in Oakland. And if you want to know more about these candidates, we have longer interviews with them online. Go to KALW.org. You're listening to a special presentation from KALW News, Oakland's mayoral race 2014. I'm Hannah Baba. Next up, Joe Tooman. He's been a member of politically focused Oakland organizations, including one that kept tabs on local public safety funding from Measure Y, but he's never held political office. Instead, he spent nearly three decades teaching government and law at San Francisco State, and he's competed in 13 Ironman triathlons. This is Joe Tooman's second bid for the mayor's office. He first ran back in 2010, a campaign season that coincided with the protests relating to the shooting of Oscar Grant. Tooman stopped by our studios and spoke with KALW's Audrey Dilling about why he decided to run back then.
The first time, I was talked into it by some friends who kept after me, and they finally got me. I was on a business trip in New York with my wife, and a fellow called me, and we had just had one of our riots that summer in 2010, and he said, the city's in trouble, and he clicked through all the problems. He said, are you sure you won't reconsider and run? And he caught me at a weak moment, I guess, and I said, we'll go out and have a walk, and I'll come back and tell you. And we ended up walking the streets in New York for about 2 hours talking about this. And when we came back, I went to call him, and it suddenly dawned on me that I've been walking on the streets in New York for 2 hours, and never once did I look over my shoulder or worry about where we were. And that revelation, by the way, really made me think twice, because I would never have done that in Oakland. So I agreed to do this mostly because then, as now, I don't really have confidence that the people who are in public office are willing to have the difficult kinds of conversations or make the priorities to make the city not just a safe city, but a peaceful city, and a city also that businesses will invest in, and a city that can fix its problems.
And now I want to talk about public safety. Violent crime is down in Oakland, but police and community relations are often quite fraught. How would you improve those relations if you were mayor?
Some categories of crime are down. And the one that our mayor, the incumbent, loves to point to, and I think even our city council members do as well, is the homicide rate. The homicide rate and the violent rate of crime generally is down all over the country. And so it's very difficult to point to any particular thing in Oakland that accounts for those differences and say, oh, well, we're doing this and it's going to zero. And most people in Oakland actually don't experience crime from the perspective of homicide. For most people, it is about a property crime of some sort, or economic crime of some sort. And their frustration, our frustration in Oakland, is that there aren't enough police officers to respond. So mostly when this happens, you have the option of calling and being told to file a report online, or just not calling at all and trying to deal with your insurance company by yourself. There are a lot of residents who, because of that, get a disconnect from the sense of community. That's why so many neighborhoods, and this may be part of the reason that crime is down, if it is down, who have gone to private security. It's the inability of the city in this case to adequately staff as the police department or respond with safety that makes people who live in a community feel less connected to that community.
What's something you think voters don't know about you?
I actually think there's not a lot that people don't know about me in ways. But I think that sometimes in a place like Oakland, when you take positions like I've taken about law enforcement and wanting to have business invest, people automatically assume that you're a conservative. And I think the word that we use in Oakland, which is kind of pejorative, is you're a moderate in a liberal place like that. I guess so. Maybe to answer your question, one thing that people don't know about me is I'm actually fairly liberal on a lot of the social issues. And I'm a pragmatist. I mean, I also believe in doing the right thing and the right solution, whatever makes the most sense.
That was Oakland mayoral candidate Joe Tooman speaking with KALW's Audrey Dilling. And now let's hear from another candidate for Oakland mayor, the retired Charles Williams, an ex-Navy man who completed four tours in Vietnam as part of a search and rescue team. Williams has spent a lot of time on the road and overseas, and it's his worldliness and street education that he sees as setting him apart from the other candidates. Like Joe Tooman, Williams has never held public office, and while public safety and the Oakland budget are his main concerns, he also supports more services for the homeless, making school uniforms mandatory citywide, and creating more after-school programs for children. Williams stopped by our studios and talked to KALW's Chris Hoff about what he sees as Oakland's biggest problem.
The budget, then public safety.
Okay.
What? Because the budget sets a tone and a standard for everything you do. If you don't have any money, you can't do anything.
Okay.
Oakland is creeping toward default. And, you know, the biggest part of that is here where my living in the world and my experience in the world, that sets me apart from any other candidate that's running. Because most of them are microcosm right here in Oakland, right here in the East Bay. You know, they don't have any idea of world values, what happens in the world, and the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are attorneys, you know. And they are very good at telling you what you want to hear. This is their life. You got to give it to them. They will convince you that the monkey's dead. The monkey could be running up the street.
Concerning the present mayor of Oakland, what is your assessment of the job she's done?
Let me tell you something. There's two things that you learn in life. Don't burn your bridges, okay? And you never know who's going to come out of the dark to save you. So I look at that, and I look at the whole situation that the cabinet that she had behind her, they were not real. Everybody had ulterior motives. Not everybody, but most people had ulterior motives. You know, there's a lot of backstabbing in politics. There's a lot of falsities in politics. And there's a lot of, I want to say this, I want to make this word nice. There's a lot of people that are just not real. How about that?
Okay.
And they are very selfish in my book. And, you know, to do anything in life, you need a team. And if the team is not there, the success is not there. And a lot of those people had ulterior motives and secret agendas, you know, and feeding their own pockets.
And if you're elected mayor, who was the first person that you'd call?
The police chief.
Why?
Sean Wentz, because I think his problems are more exasperated than any other department. And you know what? I met him. I had we was at their black policeman's ball, and you know he is about him and Chief Batch, two of the most warmest people that I've met in law enforcement. And you know, like I said, I've been throughout the world doing this, and Sean Wentz is to me. He has a lot of compassion and a lot of dignity for his people, and he's a down-to-earth person, you know. And I think fixing OPD is not that big of a job. Like I said, people just don't know the chemistry, and they don't know, you know, the intricate, you know, little elements of policing.
Okay. All right.
But Sean Wentz is Chief Sean Wentz. I got to give him that. He is one hell of a person. Yeah.
That was Oakland mayoral candidate Charles Williams speaking with KALW's Chris Hoff. If you want to know more about these candidates, we have longer interviews with them online. Go to KALW.org. You're listening to a special presentation from KALW News, conversations with everybody actively running to be mayor of Oakland. I'm Hannah Baba. We'll continue with Brian Parker. Parker is a healthcare and tech executive with degrees from UC Berkeley and NYU. Though he's never held elected office, he's a former chair of Oakland's Workforce Investment Board, and he's currently serving as a commissioner for the Port of Oakland. He was appointed to that position by current mayor Gene Kwan. He made news earlier this year with a successful crowdfunding campaign, and he's a supporter of the web-based alternative currency Bitcoin. Parker is not originally from Oakland, but he does have a long history with the town. He stopped by our studios and spoke with KALW's Jen Sheehan about why he connects so deeply to the place.
What's your first memory of Oakland?
Yeah, so my first memory was as a child when the A's were winning their championships. Maybe it's the A's and the Raiders. It kind of all blurs together because I was 4 or 5 when the A's were winning their championships. And so I fell in love with the place. I knew it was a place that, you know, that I wanted to live at some point. And to me, Oakland was always about the possible. It was when you fall in love with something, or at least for me, it was associated with winning and excitement. also resiliency. I mean, I look at the Raiders, and yes, we look at those as sports, but I looked at them as a team that were the blue-collar, lunch pail-type crowd that fought. It would, you know, knock you in the mouth if they needed to, but they were going to be resilient and get it done. So I guess what really stands out to me is this, the whole thing of never being counted out.
And this is a time of great change in Oakland going on demographically, financially, economically. What do you think of the changes that are happening right now in the city?
I'm super excited about our future. One of the things that I want to make sure of, however, is that we keep the incredible diversity that Oakland has intact.
And what are some of the ways that you think that could happen? How do we keep diversity in the city?
Well, one, as you're building this enterprise, this city, and helping it grow. So my experience is in helping organizations grow. And so when you're...
And that's in the private sector.
Well, it's in the private and the public sector, because I've been chair of our Workforce Investment Board. I am one of the port commissioners, so on the board of directors of the port. And I think one of the things that you do when you're having an organization of any size grow, whether that's public or private, is what is the brand identity that you're trying to keep intact? And one of the things that we'll have to pay attention to is diversity and all that we do. And so what does that mean? That means that we need to have housing policies that fit with that. We have to make sure that there's enough affordable housing, both in old and new housing stock, and making sure that we're doing things from a zoning perspective or negotiating with our with developers that are coming here to build housing, that there's 15% to 25% that can be used for affordable or low income or even moderate rate housing. So those are the structural things that we can do. The other side of the equation, though, is when you think about people being pushed out, it's a fairly simple economic formula. And it says, hey, the price of this stuff, right, housing, groceries, gas, all of that is outpacing your income. And one of the things that we need to focus on Oakland fundamentally is good jobs and is living wage jobs. So if we can get people into living wage jobs so that their incomes are keeping up with the rising price of this stuff, I think we have a better chance of keeping them in their homes. And my plan is 20,000 jobs by the year 2020, and those would be living wage jobs. I think that's a really big part of the equation that lots of the candidates are not talking about.
That was Oakland mayoral candidate Brian Parker speaking with KALW's Jen Sheehan. Next up is Patrick McCullough, who first gained public notoriety back in 2005 after he shot and wounded a teenager in the driveway of his North Oakland home. McCullough says the shooting was an act of self-defense necessary in a neighborhood plagued by crime and intimidation. KLW's Julie Kane visited McCullough at home to talk about his vision for public safety in Oakland.
The biggest thing is I really want to, and I know I will once I'm elected, make Oakland a safer place. It's just ridiculous how it is now. There's way too much righteous fear for one's safety. There's a fear that keeps people away from Oakland, so that cuts down our economic progress. I hear that there's no hope among the younger people. And I think a lot of it is because they're on the verge. They're facing life and death decisions every day, and they don't really see a change coming. So they rationalize, hey, there's too great a chance that my life could end. So I'm only going to concern myself with the things that are bringing me pleasure and maybe some sense of security right now. Often those things won't carry them any further. And that's been like this vicious cycle we've been locked into.
It seems unlikely that you're going to win. Seems like the chances are pretty slim. And so I'm curious why you're running.
Well, because unlikely things have happened for me throughout my life. You know, I was born on a kitchen table in the south side of Chicago. You know, this is, and I brought this before, this is during the same months that, let me see, the Supreme Court came out with the school desegregation case, I believe it in March. And then in August, they lynched Emmett Till, a neighborhood kid who lived just a few blocks away from the table I was born on. So for me to get out of that atmosphere and go to some of the wonderful places I've been in life, people says, well, geez, you know, that's just not likely. You know, I remember when I became an electronics technician in the Navy, I went to a ship because I was an ace tech. I went over to a neighboring ship to do them a favor. The captain of my ship had sent me over there, and the guy had never seen a black electronics technician before and didn't believe that I was one until I asked for his superior officer to come, who had asked for me to be there. When I was in law school, everybody was chasing after my wife. You know, I mean, even a couple of the professors had the hots for her, but I got her. You know, I've just done so many things that the fact that it's difficult or seems impossible won't be enough reason for me to not believe that I can make it happen. So this is just another one of those things. Look at the street. I mean, look, you know, it's a lot safer than it's been ever in the last, 40 years. And, you know, I know other people have done their part too, but I don't think these things would have happened without the part that I did. So people who told me then, you can't stop the dealing here, you can't stop people from doing this and that, well, I did.
That was Oakland mayoral candidate Patrick McCullough talking with KALW's Julie Kane. And if you want to know more about these candidates, we have longer interviews online at KALW.org. You're listening to a special presentation from KALW News, the people who would be mayor of Oakland. I'm Hannah Baba. And now, Rebecca Kaplan. It's her second time running for mayor of Oakland. She came in third back in 2010 when current mayor Gene Kwan was first elected. Kaplan has been on the city council since 2008. She's council member at large, meaning she's Oakland's only council member who was elected by the whole city rather than just a single district. Kaplan lives in North Oakland with her wife, who she married this summer. Reporter Jeremy Dalmas spoke with her at her campaign office by City Hall.
We can have development without displacement. We can incorporate our existing community into growing economic prosperity, in part because we have vacant parcels on transit lines. We have the capacity to have significant new projects at West Oakland BART, Lake Merritt BART, Broadway Valdez, Coliseum, where we can harness those empty plots of land to bring in both new housing and new retail.
The relationship between the police and certain communities have been strained.
Very much for a while,
and especially
very
recently.
Much.
How would you balance keeping crime down and the relationship between the police departments?
So one of the most destructive myths that's been pushed in Oakland is that we should pit responsible and respectful policing against crime fighting. It is untrue. And in fact, the elimination of the neighborhood beat officers is a perfect example of why it's not true that these things are in competition. When you have an assigned beat officer, you can really build those bonds of trust with the community. And removal of those beat officers also reduces our crime-fighting capacity. Our police department is currently 8% people from Oakland. And so it's not a surprise, then, that there's a feeling of disconnect for many people. So in the last several academies, 1,400 Oakland residents applied, but only 32 were accepted out of 1,400 who applied. And I was told that some were rejected for a bad credit score, some were rejected for prior marijuana use. And so we look at things like this that don't seem to have a relationship to whether someone would be a good police officer, and those should not be grounds for rejecting people from the department.
You said all of the top goals the city is trying to accomplish right now are being hampered by a lack of effective leadership.
So the council has the power to pass laws. The mayor and the city administrator oversee the implementation. So, for example, as a city council, we passed laws to crack down on illegal dumping. Illegal dumping is a significant problem in Oakland, and if someone is illegally dumping in Oakland, we should take their truck. I mean, we should not allow this kind of misconduct to continue. So the council passed the law, but it hasn't been implemented. The reason I decided to step up to run for mayor is seeing the incredible turnover of staff, the very low morale. I think it's important to be able to instill commitment and to select people who really want to be in Oakland.
That was Oakland mayoral candidate Rebecca Kaplan speaking with KALW's Jeremy Dalmas. Now we'll hear from candidate Ken Houston, who grew up and still lives in East Oakland. He went through Oakland's public schools before becoming a partner in a construction business. At the beginning of this year, Houston launched the East Oakland Beautification Council to eliminate illegal dumping and graffiti in the area around the Coliseum. He says he decided to enter the mayoral race because he was starting to reach the limits of what he could accomplish as a community activist. Houston came by our studios and spoke with KALW's Rachel Dornhelm.
You said you're a third-generation Oaklander.
Third generation.
Can you tell me more about what the city of Oakland means to you? What to you makes it special and unique?
It doesn't, just because you are Oaklander, doesn't mean that you have the skills or the qualifications or just supposed to just roll in to be about Oakland. It has to be in your soul. Let me tell you something. It's not one single candidate that can touch the street to the suite like I do. I live, grew up below the second railroad tracks. I went to school with people that are doing life in the penitentiary for murder and homicides and things like that because they didn't have the opportunity. I can talk to those individuals. I talk the same language. I know no one has that type of quality. And at the same time, I touch the millionaires. I have friends that's multimillionaires. I touch both worlds. So let me say this. I understand all the elements. Now, police. Police are needed. Community policing is needed. That's why I'm probably around right now is because of an officer named Officer Crabtree. And he used to come by and see me all the time. He didn't talk about what I did. He knew I was a bad kid. He knew what I did, but he came and talked to me about fixing the engine on my car. That's true community policing. So if we have officers like him, that'll change it. More police is just that Band-Aid, a Band-Aid.
I'm curious because you are speaking about, I mean, just this long-term understanding of Oakland. Oakland is also changing a lot right now. You know, there are huge shifts economically, demographically. What do you think of the changes that are affecting the city?
You know what? I don't like it, and I love it, if that makes sense. Let me tell you what I love about it. I love about the image, and it's helping change the image, and that's what I'm about is changing the image of the city. So what I did was I was appointed the chair of the East Oakland Beautification Council to change the image of the San Leandro Street that goes to the Coliseum, goes to the airport. And I changed it. We changed that corridor. That corridor is 99% illegal graffiti clear. And even business owners are saying their business has gone up because of the graffiti being gone. But I didn't only get rid of the graffiti, I embraced it at the same time. What I did was I created an area called Graffiti Cove. Now I have all the kids that's coming and they go do the graffiti in Graffiti Cove. So I crushed it and embraced it at the same time. I don't understand why these politicians can't see this. It's so easy, but they make it complicated.
That was Oakland mayoral candidate Ken Houston. He spoke with KALW's Rachel Dornhelm. And if you want to know more about these candidates, we have longer interviews online at KALW.org. You're listening to a special presentation from KALW News, the voices of Oakland's mayoral candidates. I'm Hanat Baba. Libby Schaff was born and raised in Oakland. She got into politics and worked with Ignacio de la Fuente and Jerry Brown before being elected to the city council, where she currently represents District 4. That includes Montclair and Redwood Heights. Now she's running for mayor. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Libby Schaff in our studios.
I'm wondering, if Occupy had come about under your watch as mayor, what would you have done?
I think that the disparity between rich and poor is offensive, and everyone has the right to be so angry about that. But that expression does not need to result in vandalism to property, to the breaking of laws, and to the harming of people. And drawing that clear line never happened. Similarly, the Oakland Police Department should be one of the best trained police departments in the country to deal with and facilitate peaceful protest. That type of policy, that leadership, that direction, and the training clearly had not been given to the Oakland Police Department. I mean, we are Oakland. We are always going to be a center of demonstration and protest and free speech. That's just who we are. And so, as a city, we need to be prepared for that, have clear policies, and train all of our staff members in how to react appropriately.
So, recognizing the value of free speech and the voice that was given to people who are really fed up with economic disparities, which you call offensive, how would you go about, as mayor, helping to channel that energy into something constructive for the city then?
I think you channel it constructively by creating opportunities for people to take action. I think that was part of the frustration, was many of us have been working on these issues for our lifetimes. I mean, many of us came to politics because of a passion for these very issues. And so to be first excited that it felt like the rest of the community was waking up to this awareness that many of us have had for years, but then disappointment that that energy didn't seem to be channeled in a constructive direction, that became a disappointment. I mean, I'll just put out one example, Prop 13 reform. Let us all sit down and put energy into that split tax roll proposal.
You're saying about commercial property taxing versus personal property, like homes and such.
Absolutely. That's a piece of Prop 13 reform that many people have thought is obtainable. You know, Prop 13 has always been called the third rail of politics, but this is such a common sense reform. It is so morally obvious to many of us that this is something that's needed. Why not take this energy and put it into something like that? Raising the minimum wage. I'm so proud that Oakland is stepping forward and taking immediate and certain action. March 1st, minimum wage is going to be going up to $12.25 in Oakland. I am confident that that measure is going to pass on our ballot. That's the type of movement that this country needs to see. That is really powerful. That's what I hope people put their energy into.
That's Oakland Councilwoman Libby Schaff. She spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. Next up, Jason Shake Anderson. Anderson is a veteran, a former Occupy media liaison, and the Green Party candidate for this election. He's an Oakland native who feels strongly about creating jobs for youth, investing in alternative currencies, and supporting the arts in his hometown. Anderson stopped by our studios and spoke with KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs.
Seems like a fairly major part of your campaign is Bitcoin, and including the use of Bitcoin. I also just don't know very much about Bitcoin in general, but will you talk to me a little bit about Bitcoin? And
okay, when I get this question, I like the question. I like because it's not about Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's about alternative currencies. It's not. Bitcoin is an alternative currency, crypto-based currency that is based upon a ledger that is on the web, that is open for anybody, which creates the lack of a third-party system. The banking system now we have is a third-party system that verifies that the money is there so we can exchange it amongst ourselves. It's a trust factor, right? With the internet in place, that replaces that third-party system of a Federal Reserve system with the internet and a ledger, which then now is just peer-to-peer, right? That's kind of essentially how Bitcoin works. It can't be complicated. But the simple version of it is alternative currencies. I want people to understand that we're in America. We say it's a free country. We need to be free with our commerce, too. And we need to realize we're global citizens. Having one option of use of money or the most popular option isn't always the best. And sometimes we need to augment our currency with other currencies so that we can live a more prosperous life and understand money completely. If I only have one choice, then I only have one form of understanding. But if I have several choices and I understand how resources work and how commerce works, and I become more of a global citizen. And what I would like to see all of us become a global citizen in the concept of we understand how the world works around us, and we're not just consumers, but we're actually producers, and we also know how to use different alternatives, especially when it comes to our money. So Oakland currency would be another one that's something that the city of Oakland has passed that should be implemented shortly, and just people educating themselves on economy and resources is something that I'm very interested in. So Bitcoin is kind of like, it opens up the door for that conversation, and that's why I continue to promote Bitcoin, because it opens up the door for alternative resources, alternative currencies.
That was Oakland mayoral candidate Jason Shake Anderson. And if you want to know more about these candidates, we have longer interviews with all of them online at kalw.org. You're listening to a special presentation from KALW News, Conversations with All of the Active Candidates for Mayor of Oakland. I'm Hanat Baba. Next up, Dan Siegel, a civil rights lawyer who's done everything from opening a storefront law collective in Fruitvale to serving on the Oakland School Board. Siegel also advised current Mayor of Oakland Gene Kwan until he resigned in 2011. The reason? To protest what he called Kwan's tragically unnecessary raid of the Occupy Oakland camp. He went on to join in the protest, and he's considered by many to be the Occupy movement's candidate. KALW's Judy Silber spoke to Siegel about his vision for Oakland in a time of intense change.
Let's talk a little bit about Occupy. This was a big deal for you because you actually resigned as the advisor of Gene Kwan. And so, how would you have handled the Occupy movement? If you had been mayor, what would you have done differently?
Well, if I'd been mayor during Occupy, I would have done precisely what I urged Mayor Kwan to do, which was to become part of Occupy. Occupy was, in my view, a great effort in the United States. It brought out millions of people. It popularized the idea of the 1%. It raised people's consciousness about the role that the economic elite plays in this society, how income inequality impacts everyone, and how it distorts government by virtue of Citizens United and other procedures by which the very rich can dominate politics. Oakland is a city which is tremendously disadvantaged by some of the trends that are taking place in the society. You think about the tax policy, the income policies that we have in this country, the way in which that has starved public services, made it so difficult for a city like Oakland to create affordable housing or create decent schools. This was a great opportunity for the mayor. As mayor, I would have and she should have spent time with the people who are occupying, spoken with them, used her bully pulpit to popularize the ideas that were coming from the Occupy movement, reached out to other public officials around the country, and helped bring about some of the changes which ironically, are now taking place several years later. I mean, from my point of view, Occupy is very largely to be credited for the election of Bill de Blasio in New York City, or Kashama Sawant, a socialist, to the Seattle City Council, or Chuck Wei Lumumba as mayor of Jackson. And the people in this country, I think, have been energized by some of the lessons from Occupy. And Mayor Kwan could have been not only a leader, but a great beneficiary of that effort if she had made different decisions.
That's Oakland mayoral candidate Dan Siegel. He spoke with KALW's Judy Silber. Peter Liu is also running to be the city's next mayor. He has a simple platform. He says he's the world's smartest leader, and he's developed a plan in which every Oaklander will have a chance to make a lot of money. We don't have time to go into the details of that plan now, but we can tell you this. Liu immigrated from China at the age of 7. He went to UC Santa Cruz. He was a soldier in the U.S. Army, and he works as an insurance agent. In a questionnaire sent to mayoral candidates, he said the roads in Oakland's wealthy communities should be paved with gold every 15 years. What else does he have to say? KLW's Ben Trefney went to his house to find out.
The police, I wouldn't say that they are careless, but they are way understaffed. They have numbers about 600 right now, but in any doing one-third of the day, there would be less than 250 patrolling the streets. So in a city of 400,000, that's really a concern for the people, because if they can't respond to emergencies, then the logical way to offset that is being armed yourselves. I advocate for more community participation. Each officer will set up and advise a neighborhood watch with about 7 to 25 volunteers. Once the city declares an emergency, all neighborhood watches will be notified to prepare for the best course of action. And in the city, we would have at least 4,000 volunteers to ready to defend the city if, let's say, a terrorist attack with a dozen terrorists roaming the streets with automatic rifles. Then we declare an emergency, and the volunteers, they'll be the armed citizenry, and so they'll be able to defend their homes, their neighborhoods, against that type of attack.
I mean, I'm just not sure that I personally would trust a volunteer deputized mini army to protect Oakland. I mean, I would want them to have a certain amount of training. I would want to be able to trust them the way that I would hopefully trust the police, though, you know, I think for a lot of Oaklanders, that sometimes is in question as well.
Yes, I'll be training the officers because I have military experience.
You yourself?
Yes, yes. And I have squad tactics, and they're a civilian force as like a militia, as stated in the Second Amendment. These are regulated local militias, and they would have the power to defend themselves in emergencies when the Oakland Police and Alameda Sheriff are incapable of that. So they are the backups of the police forces.
Do you own any guns?
Yes, I have. Rifles. I have more than 6 handguns. Various locations, hidden, locked, but it could be pulled out at any moment's notice to defend myself and family.
That's Oakland mayoral candidate Peter Liu. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. You can find their entire conversation, including more on Liu's community-empowered safety plan, at KALW.org. You're listening to a special presentation from KALW News, Oakland's mayoral election 2014. I'm Hannah Baba. Courtney Ruby is Oakland's city auditor, who now wants to be Oakland's next mayor. Ruby says her priority is public safety, and since she's experienced crunching the numbers, she's convinced that she can find the funds to put at least 200 more police on the street. Not just any kind of officer. She's rallying for more engaged officers, and she says she's not afraid to take a stand on tough issues. She's known for questioning shady contracts and exposing what she calls a broken system. Courtney Ruby sat down to talk with KALW's Lila Day.
You're a city auditor, so what experience does that bring to the table? I mean, you must have a really different way of looking at what's happening in Oakland through that lens.
Absolutely. So as city auditor, you know, as I stated, I have spent 8 years examining the government, you know, or looking under the hood of almost every department. And what I've found is that city government is broken, that we need somebody in the mayor's office who understands finance and management. And from an auditor's perspective, what does an auditor bring, right? I have the financial and management expertise to lead the city to realize this potential, right? I also know that we need someone who has gotten results. So for those people who know me, you know, the constituency knows I have taken on City Hall. I have investigated council members. I've investigated development programs. I have told people like it is, and they trust me. So we need a trusted leader to take Oakland into the next phase of its realization and prosperity and economic vitality.
And as mayor, what would you do to help direct the city toward your vision for the future?
As mayor, it will be my job to focus on safety every day. And what we know is that's the greatest concern to residents, and also that businesses aren't moving there because of the public safety issue. So as long as we continue to have the crime rates that we have, we will lose and not be able to realize Oakland's full potential.
And at what point did you even decide to run for mayor?
I decided late. I got in late in February. I am the proud mother of two boys that I adopted from foster care 3 years ago. And when I first contemplated running, I did not think that we as a new family could take this on. But unfortunately, we've been touched by violence several times since the boys moved in. And one night I was putting the boys to bed and I had just taken them out of the car and I went outside to unload my car and a shooting erupted at the intersection and the getaway car was behind my car. So I had to hit the ground and it terrified me and it broke my heart because I believe in this city. And what we know is that kids are getting shot, you know, little kids. So these are two traumatized boys from foster care. And every day I tell them I'm going to keep them safe. But in Oakland, I have had to explain to them why a little girl that my oldest son goes to school with was shot through the neck. I have to be good on my commitment to my sons. The city has to be good on its commitment to the residents. And I know I am the one who can deliver a safe and well-run city.
That's Oakland City Auditor Courtney Ruby, who's running to be the next mayor of Oakland. She spoke with KALW's Lila Day. And that brings us to the current mayor of Oakland, Jean Kwan. Kwan's leadership of the city has received mixed reviews. She's been criticized for her crackdown on the Occupy movement, a controversial police department with a federal monitor, and rapid turnover at the top. She's also knocked for having trouble communicating with her constituents. But Kwan says the city is better off than it was 4 years ago. She says violent crime is down and the city is finally on the right track. Kwan came to our studios and sat down with KALW's Sandhya Dirks to talk about what she's learned from the past 4 years.
And it's Annette Berkley that sort of
made me have to stand up for myself, and that became a habit afterwards. You know, it's sort of like you had to stand up for myself being the only Chinese kid, and you know,
what happened? Can I ask what
having
happened?
Unkind things said to you? So I started becoming a student activist. So I was volunteering at West Oakland. I helped with the Great Boycott because a lot of Valley kids, we went out and helped with the Great Harvest, et cetera, et cetera. So I was helping with the Great Boycott because the Regents were buying more grapes just to spite the farm workers, and we were boycotting the school cafeteria. And I'd put up a leaflet, and if you were a Cal in the 60s, the whole place was plastered with leaflets, et cetera. And I put up the leaflet on our student activities door next to the office where I worked, and some cop, campus cop, gave me a ticket. I'm like, are you kidding me? A week later, I was called into the dean's office, and they had my mother there, and she was crying, and basically they were threatening my scholarship and the injustice of it, and really beginning to sort of understand racism in a different way. I think African-Americans grow up understanding racism much earlier. For me, someone taunting me on the playground, you know, I was just taught to be tough and put my chin up. And so I was about to say earlier, it's like, sometimes people say you're not always as friendly as you should be. And it's like, when I'm under attack, I sort of do that thing. I find myself doing this thing that I did when I was 5 years on the playground. So it's like getting tough, putting my chin up, and just continuing to focus on work and what I have to do. So, but this, I just lost it. And I said, don't you ever bring my mother in. I don't care if you take away my scholarship. You have no right to do this.
What happened?
I walked out. Eventually did charge me during the Third World Strike and did take away my scholarship. It, though, taught me to stand up, that whole sort of early years account.
In terms of sort of lesson learned, are there ways in which you would have dealt differently with Occupy, you know, if you could do it again?
I think if the whole city could do it again, we'd probably do it differently. I think the problem was it was a new and quick-moving phenomena. And I think depending on who you are, you had a totally different view of what was happening. But it's so not like New York. In New York, it was in a private space. There were literally union staff running the camp, and so that was well-organized and it was open. That is so not what happened in Oakland.
So have you seen young people's activism energize the city in a time where things are changing?
I think it has, but I think it's not that. If anything, Oakland has changed some of the outside suburban types who came in to save us. I think they've learned that some of the issues, gentrification, the issues of poverty, are much tougher than just taking over a plaza.
That was Oakland's incumbent mayor, Jean Kwan, making her case for 4 more years at the helm of the city. She spoke with KALW's Sandhya Dirks. And that's it. Eric Wilson will also be on the ballot, but we were unable to reach him. And if you want to hear more from any of these 14 candidates, if you missed any of the interviews, no problem. Head online to KALW.org, where you can find the original half-hour conversations we conducted with each one. Once you're informed, the choice is yours. Election Day is 2 weeks away. And be sure to tune in to this station to find out what happens. KALW News will be deployed on Tuesday, November 4th, with live reports from the field and results from around the Bay Area. It'll be part of KALW's election coverage featuring regional, state, and national results from NPR News. Tune in then and for results the next morning at KALW 91.7 in San Francisco. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to vote. For KALW News, I'm Hannah Baba.